How about a big round of applause for our worship team leading us to God today? We are John and Arlene Markowski, and we're happy to share some thoughts with you right now on behalf of the Big Apple Church. Are you guys in the house, in our new house? It is exciting after many months of searching and praying and even fasting that we have a location to be able to meet in and to be able to praise God in. We're very grateful for Baruch and their staff and everybody housing us for the next few weeks. We're grateful for them. We have several surprises in store today, but we did want to have an extended time here to talk a little bit about what we're celebrating today, our 2996 Summer of Service campaign, and also to lead us into a time of communion. So as we get started, my wife Arlene is going to kick us off.
So there's a song that you guys might have heard on the radio, maybe 50 billion times if you do listen to the radio. It's called Hall of Fame by The Script, and it's featuring will.i.am. And the first line of that song reads, "Yeah, you could be the greatest." And it's interesting, right? Because that resonates with us, this idea of being the greatest. But I ask myself, what does it mean to be the greatest? Is it the most powerful? Is it the smartest? Is it the person that has the most influence or the most followers on social media? And it's interesting because we do have some people that are in the public eye that have used that influence, right, to put others down, to defame others, shaming people with insults. And it's interesting the concept of using social media to elevate themselves by putting others lower. And I had to wonder, is that how we are the greatest, by having that kind of influence?
Good question.
And are these people the greatest in our communities? There's also a question of, what about people that use their influence for positivity, right? What about those among us that do incredible things, that defy the human, you know, ability by being the fastest, the strongest, the most athletic, or Olympians? You know, these are the kind of things that awe us, why we all huddle around to watch these amazing feats. So what about those people that break records, that do these amazing things? Does anybody remember a name by Bob Hayes? Does that strike? Okay, we might have a few. See, we have a well-known crowd here that people know what's up. But it should be a name that we all remember, right? Bob Hayes, in 1964, was the very first person to break that 10-second time for the 100-meter dash. First person in all of history. He was a Hall of Famer. But not many of us remember, save one or two. What about Jan Todd, PhD? That's a name that maybe none of you know. She was the first woman in the modern era to lift over 500 pounds in a power lift. And she had a PhD. So there you go. She was a Hall of Famer. But we don't know her name. How about rich people? How about people that achieve because they have that mind for money? They are able to do incredible things. They wrote the book on the modern era of economy. They wrote the rules about wealth and success. We all remember the first millionaire, right? Do we know? In human history? The first millionaire was in New York City. John Astor. Astor Place? Yeah. First millionaire. I know, it's like those trivia things that only a few people will ever have in their pocket. But we don't actually remember their names. Or who won, and this might be something this crowd knows, who won the Oscar for Best Actress in 1987? Marlee Matlin. I don't know who knows Marlee Matlin, but she was there. It was only 30 years ago, and yet her name doesn't come to us. How about in 1997? Frances McDormand for Fargo. 2007? Helen Mirren for The Queen. What about last year? No, I know. You keep thinking Meryl Streep's going to get it. No. Last year, Brie Larson for The Room. 2 years? 2016. So think about it. We don't even, I mean, even over a year ago or 2 years ago, we still don't know who these folks are.
So what's the point to all these very provocative questions that Arlene is asking us right now? Well, these accomplishments were great in their time. I mean, lifting 500 pounds, that's awesome.
That's pretty amazing.
10 seconds flat, 9.91 seconds, 100 meter dash, these are great. But these accomplishments with time, they fade and are replaced by others who are stronger and faster and make more money. And now the big question is, when is the next trillionaire? No longer are we talking about making millions. So the question that we're asking today is, how are we going to make impact that is beyond this lifetime, that's going to make a dent in our history, that's going to leave a legacy behind? And it's actually really simple. The only way to do that is to do something outside of human capacity, is to do something that's beyond this world, to do something that God has divinely designed to be a part of the spiritual realm that we borrow and then apply to the earthly. We heard a little bit of the great text of the Hall of Fame of Faith in Hebrews 11 and 12 earlier in the service. And we're talking about the spiritual Hall of Fame now, that there are many times heroes, especially in the Bible when you look, that did amazing things, but they weren't recognized in their time. They were only recognized later. Dostoevsky said that our heroes are in plain sight, but we don't notice them at the time. And isn't that so true? The heroes in this lifetime are around us every day doing amazing things, but we might not know about it all the time. The real Hall of Famers aren't tweeting for affirmation. They're not trash-talking on social media or on the gridiron. They're sitting right next to us. The real heroes of today are around us. And that's what we're getting at today. And, you know, it's really intense. We've been thinking and praying and connecting with our fellow churches and friends and family down south as they go through the hurricanes that are ripping up north right now. And our hearts go out to them. And, you know, Arlene's brother is in Tampa and her uncle's down in Naples and right sort of in the direct line of where things are happening right now. But one situation in particular struck us about this concept of people that are right next to us and do amazing things. As Hurricane Harvey made landfall in Texas several days ago, there was a Houston veteran police officer named Sergeant Steve Perez. And basically, he left home for his shift at 4 a.m. to go in and serve and to be able to help people as they were dealing with all the effects of the storm. People were evacuating and going north, and he was going south into trouble to try to help them. And friends and family were texting him and telling him, don't go in. Just call in sick today. Don't go in. It's too dangerous. And his response was, we've got work to do. So he drove for hours trying to get in and around the storm to get in to help people. And eventually he did get caught in his car under an overpass, and he didn't make it. He drowned. It was 2 days before his 61st birthday. He'd been on the force for 34 years. He's a hero. He's a hero because where other people might have not gone in or not tried, he decided, this is what I signed up for. To serve, to do my best, to help others with as much of my ability as I can. It reminds me of Luke 22, which is really going to be the heart of our time going into communion today. Read with me in verse 27, for who is greater? That's the big question we're asking that we started at. What does it mean to be great? Well, Jesus says, who's greater? Is it the one at the table or is it the one who serves? Is it not the one who's at the table? I mean, isn't it obvious that if you go to a restaurant and you're ordering, then you are greater than the people who are serving you, right? Everyone knows that, right? We smirk quietly. Why isn't my water cold? I didn't order the shrimp. Is this breaded? I said I was gluten-free. Okay, we get it, right? Who's greater? Well, obviously the one at the table, but what does Jesus say? But I am among you, not at the table, but as one who what? Who serves. You know, sometimes it helps me to think in very simple math equations. Any math lovers out there? All right. Oh, wow. It's a lot. Okay. More than I thought. Yes. All right. I think you're going to like this. Okay. I hope you're going to like this. All right. So the idea here is, okay, what's the greatest? Well, the greater than sign, is that equal to being greater than? So if something is greater, does that equal to something being great? And you got to think about that. Okay, if something is awesome, is that equal to something that is awesome? Now, mathematically, you would say You're all scared now. Yes. All right. The second one, well, what about less than? Is less than equal to greater than or greater? Now, that doesn't make any sense, right? Because one is less and one is more. And then the last one is, well, is less than equal to less than? And again, mathematically, that makes sense, right? But think about it spiritually for a minute, right? What are we saying? Well, if I'm so great and I post about it and everybody knows I'm great and I get up here and tell everyone that I'm great, does that mean I'm really great? No. It's kind of a circle, kind of trapped in my own little bubble of thinking I'm great. If you go to the bottom, if I'm less than what everyone, you know, thinks, oh yeah, you're not that great at all. You're pretty far down there. Does that really mean that I'm less? No, and so mathematically, it might not make sense, but spiritually, at least in my mind, it makes more sense that what Jesus is saying is for those that the world considers are less, they're actually greater. And so Jesus says, I have the ability to put myself in the seat of honor, but instead I lower myself to be as great as those who serve. And actually, even the shape of it, I kind of like. This is like trapped inside of itself, and this seems to be dead-ending, but this seems to be going somewhere. You know, I feel like what we've done these last 10 weeks is we've tried to go somewhere. We've tried to serve. If you haven't been around with us the last several weeks, we've been on what we're calling a 2996 campaign of service, where we decide that on September 11th weekend, today, Sunday, we were going to have 10 weeks leading up to today where we were going to dedicate to giving hours of community service to our city. And we hope that when we were done, our about 300 members of our church would be able to in total give at least 2,996 hours of community service in honor of the 2,996 people that died on 9/11. And we've been quite busy doing a lot of service these last 10 weeks. Am I right? Raise your hand if you participated in this over the last 10 weeks. Okay, so a lot of us here. Some of you who didn't know about it, don't feel bad. You don't need to raise your hand and lie. It's okay. It's all right. I know you would have if you were with us. But we've been busy feeding the hungry, walking with the blind, talking to the lonely, lifting, sweeping, moving, teaching, singing, writing, cooking, waiting, planting, cleaning, motivating, listening, tutoring, purchasing, and giving as much as we could to anyone who would receive it. And you guys have really gone out there and committed to being and having the heart of Jesus. Some of you, one of you, you had a Papa John's pizza and you were looking forward to that thing all day because you were hungry and you worked hard. But there were a couple of women on the street that were homeless and you decided to share your Papa John's pizza with them. Another of you, you are elderly and you are somewhat maybe physically limited in your ability to get around, but you decided that you wanted to serve and so you got out and you encouraged firefighters, you gave out free hugs, and you found people who are homebound and elderly and encouraged them. That's what you did. You out there are a professional chef. Every day, all day, you prepare food for other people. So you decided, not once, but twice, no, actually not twice, three times, 6 hours each time, that you were going to go in to a shelter and do what? Cook. Because that's the heart of Jesus. Some of you decided that the 10-hour goal for each individual, oh, that's nothing. And you gave 20, 40, 60 hours. Pretty incredible what we've been able to do together.
We had a couple of partners in this, many partners actually. Our main partnerships were with Hope Worldwide and with New York Cares. For many of you that remembered that midweek, we registered the whole church at that one midweek service to participate in New York Cares. And that was a portal to so many other opportunities. Some of you actually found organizations that we had never heard of to add to the list of partners that we shared throughout this time of service. So I'm just going to read off a list of them. Father Heart Ministries, Terrence Cardinal Cook Healthcare Center, Arch Care, reaching out to LGBT homeless youth, Graffiti Church, Operation Gratitude, Incarnation Center that took kids with AIDS on field trips to the Wax Museum, New York Blood Center, American Cancer Society, God's Love We Deliver, Blankets of Love, Project Linus, fundraising for private to prevent youth trafficking, Go Green, Astoria Park Alliance, a cleanup organization, North Brooklyn Farm, Broadway Cares, Covenant House, New York City Triathlon Medical Team, Grand Central Neighborhood Social Services, the Brielle at Seaview, St. Francis, the Bottomless Closet, Beulah HDFC for Kenya, St. Joseph's Soup Kitchen, Keen, a New York Public Library Computer Education Service, Coalition for the Homeless, Good Plus Foundation, Meatloaf Kitchen, New York County Court, Beta Life Org, CSA Farm Shares, the New Jewish Home, City Harvest, Holy Apostles, Jenny's Garden, Brooklyn Museum, New York Common Pantry, Project Eats, Hope School, Community Life, and Room to Grow.
Let me show you what we did. It's so encouraging to see what you guys have done and all the partners that you have made. And right now, we have a special opportunity to hear from five of the servants that went out there and did some sharing. So I want to invite them out right now. They're hiding backstage. Come on out. And we can give them a big round of applause, and they're going to share about some of their experiences. All right, here we go.
Hi. My name is Molly, and I'm a sophomore in high school at Clinton. So I was able to volunteer with a preteen teen ministry at the Holy Apostle Soup Kitchen on August 29th, which was the day after I made the decision to become a Christian and get baptized. I got to work on the food line putting apples on the plates. It wasn't hectic, it wasn't too loud. It literally went so smoothly. All of the kitchen staff was really kind and had worked there for at least more than a year. Apparently, the kitchen has kept that up for over 35 years, serving just about every day. I remember getting to chat as I worked with the people next to me, across from me, and the staff. The line was busy. It was hard for me to figure out what time it was or how many hours had passed because it never seemed to stall. To be honest, I wasn't even sure of how many plates I'd stack with apples during the time, or how my arms were a little sore. I didn't notice, and I didn't mind. Just to give our all for that period of time was such a great way to share. When we had cleaned up at around 12:30, we learned how many we had gotten to serve that day, 1,064 people. Amen. Afterwards, I remember feeling this kind of contentment. It was so cool to see how all of these people, whether they knew each other or not, worked together as a whole to give. It reminded me of how God works in so many different ways, driving us on as we served, giving them refuge, and how it's so calming to encourage, even if it's not direct. Thank you.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Francois. And I've just moved to New York in July, and as I'm not allowed to work in this country yet, being part of the New York Cares to volunteer in order to pay tribute to the 9/11 victims was a great way for me to feel useful. And for the past 11 years, my profession has been teaching at middle school and high school level. So maybe that's why, that's the reason this time around I decided to serve an older crowd, a more mature crowd. Sorry for the students here. And decided to spend a lot of time with the seniors. And I got to serve many seniors on the Upper West Side. And one of the places I got to spend a lot of time in was the New Jewish Home. And over there, I was part of creative workshops where I had to escort residents to the auditorium, and I served as a scribe to write and tell their stories or to tell their views on topics such as the universe or what it would be like to live on another planet. I also got to serve there as part of a casino night game. And so I transported the residents to the auditorium, facilitated the games, and I was able to also see their very competitive nature. I also got to serve food on the Upper West Side, where I had, I was delivering food on the doorsteps of seniors. And And so one of the first things that, stuck me when I did those activities was the smile on the face of people that I got to serve, and to realize that in a small way I was able to contribute to it. The second thing that really touched me was that even though they were in the last part of their life, or they still are in the last part of their lives, they still have a lot of wit and they still have a lot of thoughtful views to share with us. And I remember someone like Eugenia, which was one of the residents I was a scribe for in the new Jewish home. And she was so serene because she relied solely on God. And so no matter what the circumstances were, she felt at peace because she knew God was there in her life. And that really touched me that so many of them were putting their trust on God. And no matter their condition, or no matter the fact that, you know, they can't really move anymore, they were really serene because they trusted God. And to conclude, it made me think about my own mortality on this earth and the fact that life is short. And I do not want to have any regrets and not love people around me, because I would have been too focused on my own life. So I want to use this experience and continue to grow in my love for others, and to continue to follow the example that Jesus left on this earth. Thank you.
Hi guys, I'm Helena. So I wanted to share with you guys, I got a really cool opportunity to work with the Special Olympics in doing some softball skills. It was really great. I'm not a morning person, so when I first saw it, and it was Sunday morning, I was like, But I got there and realized it's such an amazing way to start the day out. There were several different types of people. There were kids who were five, there were teenagers, there were adults. We celebrated somebody's 30th birthday. There were people who were like 45, 50. It was a diverse group of people, all different races, black, white, Spanish, Asian, and they were all just there to have a great time. And I don't know about you guys, but recently with current events, I felt very discouraged and lost a lot of hope. So it was really cool to be there and just watch all these different people come together to have a good time. They cheered each other on. They high-fived each other. The volunteers, you know, went wherever they were called. We played soccer. Everyone got a chance to be up at bat. And it was just super encouraging for my soul. And just, I left feeling really hopeful and just remembering how important love is and how much we can do when we choose to work together for something good. So that's what I want to share.
So when John asked me to share today about some of the experiences that I had over the course of the summer, I wasn't really sure if I had anything to say. So I thought about it for like a couple days. And I realized the thing that I learned was just how powerful people are when they join forces and try to achieve like a common goal. One of the projects that I got a chance to work on was a soup kitchen. And it's held every Sunday at St. Francis Xavier's. It's a Catholic school. And you probably passed it. It's like right on 15th Street by 6th Avenue. And I signed up for one of the cleanup shifts. So when I got there, the different guests, they're in the process of, you know, finishing their meals, and the volunteers are starting to clean and reset the room. And they have like the new volunteers like waiting on a stage like this. And I was standing next to a college kid from Hunter, and we're both looking out across the cafeteria, and it's just like a whirl of people, all different shapes and sizes. And I got a chance, I was talking to one of the project managers, and he's just trying to tell me, you know, what they accomplished, you know, just the magnitude of it. At that one soup kitchen, they serve, on average, like 1,500 to 1,700 meals every Sunday. Oh, man. And they've been doing that for nearly 30 years. That's crazy. That's like about as long as I've been alive. Mm-hmm. And that just really struck me. You know, if you look around New York City, there's so many needs. If you go on like the New York Cares website, there's just endless needs day to day and week to week, and that can crush you if you look at it. But what's really fascinating is that day to day and week to week, those needs are met by the community. And it kind of changed the way I viewed service, because sometimes you can view service as like a sacrifice. But in New York City, it's really a privilege. You get the opportunity to join forces with your community to help build it up and to support it. And that just really struck me and was a lesson that I took home and I hope to keep with me from this day forward. Thank you.
Good afternoon, church. My name is Janelle. I actually got the privilege of volunteering with an organization called the Covenant House, which reaches out to homeless youth from the ages of 18 to 25. And every year they have about a handful of sleepouts, and I was involved in a Broadway sleepout, which involves the Broadway community coming together and fundraising for the Covenant House with whatever needs that they need, which is feeding these homeless youth, taking them in, and also providing job opportunities with training. So I got to be a part of it, and this is the second year that I got to be a part of it. And at the end of the evening, when you go there, you get to actually meet these youth, some of them, and they share their stories, and they're so vulnerable about how they ended up on the street and then how the Covenant House has provided for them. And then at the end of the evening, you sleep outside in their courtyard on the cement, and you have a cardboard box and a trash bag and a sleeping bag, and that's what you have to sleep out on the street. And it's noisy, and cars go by, and whenever the trucks stop, there's this loud honking sound, so you don't get much sleep. But it's an amazing opportunity because you really do get to see how grateful these youths are. And really, it's an opportunity to say, you are loved, you are cared for, we are here for you. We don't even know you, but that's okay. We will sleep out in your place so you don't have to. And one of the great moments of the evening is when we do go outside and we are ready to sleep out, what we do is we sing a song called Lean on Me, which many of you know, and we sing a verse and a chorus of it. And as we're singing it, we see these youths peering outside from their windows, and they're smiling, and they're hugging each other, and they're so grateful, and they're holding up signs saying thank you, and they're holding up heart shapes just to know that people care enough to fundraise and to be there for them. And so it's an amazing opportunity. It's an eye-opening opportunity to be able to just get a glimpse of what they have gone through to have to sleep outside, but also to have to ask money of people, and it's very challenging. So I was incredibly grateful for this opportunity, and I just want to thank all of you, really. I know that I have asked some of you for donations, but also many of you prayed for me. And I also want to just say thank you for the way that you've served in the way that you've been able to, because it really does mean so much. It encourages not only the people that we help, but it encourages my soul to see that people really want to give and give their heart to other people in need. So thank you.
Awesome. Can we thank all five sharers? They did an amazing job. Well, perhaps one of the things you'd like to know is if we met our goal. So we had set out to at least give 2,996 hours of community service. Last year, you remember that we did 3,775 and a half hours. We appreciate the 0.5, and New York Cares graciously had written about it on their website, and we celebrated together. And so, you know, we had set out, and we've had a lot of transition and different cancellations, and things happened along the way over the summer. And so I wasn't sure how it was going to go, but the hours kept rolling in, and Ross and I kept checking in with each other. Hey, where are we at? How are we doing? And I'm just stalling. You want me to just tell you? So who thinks we did more than 2,996? All right. Who thinks we did more than 3,775? All right. Some hands started to go up after. Okay, you're taking some time to think about it. So this year, we gave 4,035.9 hours in community service. Turn to each other and clap. Say, good job. Good job. That was awesome. Excellent. Couldn't be prouder, happier, and not only that, we also totaled how many people were served with those hours, 42,026 people. Amazing job. We were out there serving our community and imitating Jesus' heart. The greatest way anyone can serve, of course, is by giving of themselves, giving our minutes, our time, our hours, our days, and ultimately our lives. And that's what Jesus did, and that's what we're going to celebrate now as we take the communion. We are going to take the communion. If you need the little package of juice and bread, you can raise your hand after I pray. And after the communion, we'll have a song and then a video that will show us a little bit more about the heart of service that we've done here in New York City. And then I'm just going to introduce him now. But after that, we have a very special guest that's here from 3,000 miles away. Hope Worldwide heard about what we were doing here in New York, and they got excited, and they flew out their director, Hope Worldwide Global Director of Communications and Media, Shane Engel, who's going to speak to us in just a few minutes, which is very encouraging. So we're going to give him a big welcome when he comes up here and encourage him, and he's going to encourage us, and we'll continue with our service. Let's bow our heads right now and pray to our Father in heaven. God, we want to say thank you for the victory, for many different victories, for the victory of service, the victory of our hearts that are being transformed to love our neighbor, to be more than just someone who's cordial or tolerant or nice, but that we have your heart to get out there and really serve, not because we think we're better, but because we want to be like your son. We want to be those that are greater in your eyes, not greater in the world's. Father, thank you so much for the lesson of Scripture that calls us back to be those who are the servants, who get out there, who serve not as a noun, but as a verb, that we are in action showing the love that you've taught us to show to others. God, thank you for all the people who served, all the people who have been part of this campaign over the summer. Thank you for the five who shared. Thank you for the many other stories and partnerships that we didn't even talk about today. Also, God, we thank you for the future victories tomorrow and the next day, that it's not just about logging hours, but you know that you put something deep in our heart to be able to serve this community because, as Chris said earlier, there are a lot of needs here in New York. God, please help us to keep our hearts open and soft to those needs and to be like your son as he walked on this earth and gave his minutes, his days, and his life. We ask that you help us remember these victories and, most of all, the victory of the resurrection 2,000 years ago, as you showed us all and led us all out of darkness and into a new life. We pray for the communion in Jesus' name.